Jim Rutledge.
For me, Jordan Love can start shutting people up by just winning the damn division one time.
Molly Brown.
You should be going further than getting a 7 seed and not winning a playoff game. That is a fact. You should be getting further with this team that you have.
Welcome to Wisconsin's afternoon hangout.
You think the Packers would win 5?
Yes, that's what I said.
Neutral field?
I said it 3 times. 5 and 5.
Why?
This is Molly and Jim, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
It's good to hear you're still a positive person after working with Jim for as long as you have.
Alongside Molly Brown, here's Jim Rutledge.
Welcome into Molly and Jim. We are presented by Coors Light. The mountains are always blue, Molly, and sometimes we are chill.
Sometimes.
We are on ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee, and ESPN Beaver Dam as we are filling in for Wildy and Tausch. Rather, y'all. Behind the glass, we are in the Everlight Solar Studio. I believe that means you can see us on both the ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee YouTube streams. And Molly, you went with your Homer Simpson look today, your standard black.
My Homer Simpson? Why do you say Homer Simpson? I was thinking more of like a Nick Saban.
Well, Homer wears the same thing every day. Simpson. I don't know about Homer in Milwaukee, but Homer Simpson wears the same thing every day.
Maybe him too. Well, actually, it's funny that you say that, though, because, well, one, I wear black all the time, obviously. It makes you skinny. And tan. But two, as I was getting dressed this morning, I'm like, you know what? I am officially deciding I am in my Nick Saban era.
Okay.
Because, like, there's the whole story with, like, Nick Saban that, like, part of his success is because he literally wore the exact same thing every day because it's, like, it's one less thing that you have to think about, right? So, like,
I didn't know that.
Yes, I've heard that story before.
Okay.
I should probably Google it to make sure that it's like a real story. But
it
yes,
tracks.
I've heard it before where like he would wear like the exact same thing over and over and over because it's like it's one less thing that you need to think about, one less thing that you need to put your energy and time into. And so I decided that I'm going to do that because right now I just don't really have a lot of time. And I just, you know, I overthink what I'm going to wear during the day. Mm-hmm. I then like if I pick something that's a little bit out of my comfort zone, then I'm trying to be more trendy and fashionable. Then I just feel like uncomfortable all day. So I was just like this morning, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to be Nick Saban. Nick Saban era is starting now.
So you don't feel comfortable when you take chances?
No, that's not entirely accurate. Maybe.
Well, I'll say
I don't want to get into like therapy, like because I feel like somehow
we're
some way
we get 3 hours, Molly. We get into therapy
for me like at least once a week at this point. But I don't know if that's necessarily why. It's just more of like a out of my comfort zone. I'm trying to, you know, like dress like the cute 24-year-olds in our office, and I'm like, girlfriend, you're almost 30 years old. Calm down.
I'm sorry, you are 29 years old. I'm
but still,
46.
It's different.
And you're
trying to wear a backwards hat.
I am wearing a backwards hat. So at 46, I apparently am trying to look like, honestly.
You're trying to look like you're Riley Yautzing.
If I could look like I'm 36, I would take
as
a massive, massive win. We will talk Packers today because we know that this is a Packers show. Serious stuff. But you mentioned Nick Saban and the football coach mentality. And honestly, outside of Coach LaFleur, I think that, you know, Luke Fickell would have the same mentality, and I feel like probably most high school coaches have the same mentality of why waste bandwidth, which is hilarious. Mm-hmm. Why waste bandwidth on trying to figure out what you're going to wear, Molly? I like that.
Well, why do you think Matt LaFleur literally wears the same thing during the football season? He wears the vest, he wears a long sleeve, he wears pants, he wears the same Nikes.
That's fair. So maybe that
same
is
with
the
Luke
secret.
Fickell. Luke Fickell wore the freaking TEAM vest.
Oh my God, I hate
for the
that
last
so much.
Like 3 years up until like one game where he was like, you know what? Maybe I just shouldn't wear this anymore because it's cringe.
You know, a little inside baseball here with football of it, but Brady Ewing, a former Badger, he's getting a lot of credit for bringing a lot of former Badger players back into the fold. If he could also just whisper to Fickell, lose the TEAM, that would be great.
I think he's done with it.
You think so?
Because he ended the season last year.
I know,
but
like, I don't know. It feels like it's identity. Maybe he'll bring it back.
But okay.
The other thing that football coaches, I think, are known for is cologne. And Riley Yauch, behind the glass, was scrambling a little bit, getting us rolling today, because what were you doing before the show started?
I was interviewing 4 high school head coaches for our Prep Mania Coaches Roundtable.
Okay. And when Molly and I came in here, it was a strong smell. It was not a bad smell, but it smelled of cologne. And we're trying to figure out 844-770-3776. That's the Carbostock text line. List is more. What cologne do you most associate with a high school football coach? Because it is not a bad smell.
It's a good, like, I like this smell.
It's
just there's so much that I might come home and my husband will be like, why are you wearing men's cologne? And I'll be like, I swear, I was just in the studio for 3 hours. Yeah, no, it's a good smell, though. Like, I like this smell. But if I attribute one to it, I mean, I automatically think of, like, Old Spice Fiji.
Old Spice Fiji is more modern than a football coach is going to put.
True, but also, like, those were, like, young coaches that we had. One of those guys that was just in here, Riley, was, like, he looked like he was decently young, I think.
Maybe are you talking about Torin Young, former Iowa Hawkeye running back?
That's Torin Young, former Badger, Winona Grove running back.
Yeah, Torin Young.
I didn't know Torin Young was in here. I love Torin Young.
Yeah.
Back when I actually covered high school sports.
He's a great
interview,
too.
If you love him, you would have known that it was him. Come on, Jim. Like,
that was a long time ago.
Okay.
I'm old. I can't remember things. Torin Young was someone I wanted to go to the Badgers, but they had too many good running backs
that
at
is
that
who I'm
time.
Talking about, yes.
All right, but Dan Landscaper chimes in. Can you guys please keep it funny and authentic while you're subbing in today? Not make it serious like Wilding and Talish always do.
Oh.
Well, we are definitely not serious.
It's going to change our game plan.
And he says Axe body spray.
For sure Axe.
They could have been an Axe today. These guys are younger. But that's the fun part of it, because if you're Daniel Landscaper and you're a little bit, I guess, younger, because I would imagine, like, if I picture and I try to remember what, like, my high school teachers or, like, my football coach smelled like, it's going for, like, Brute, maybe Cool Water. Some Old Spice, not the fancy Fiji stuff, like old school Old Spice. You smell like old spices. I don't even know what Old Spice specifically is supposed to smell like. But I tell you what they don't smell like is like Bath and Body Works. Like, okay. I don't think they're wearing a lot of, like, even like the I love, like, the men, I almost said flavored, the men smelling.
They are flavors.
The men, the creams and the cologne for men, it's always like bourbon and sweat or baseball glove.
It is always like a
beer.
Like an alcohol, whiskey, and
right.
Like blank.
Right.
Like fill
and
in
it
the
doesn't book. Smell like those things because nobody actually, oh, let me get that beer and cigarettes. Like now I'm manly. You don't actually smell like beer and cigarettes. You just feel like, well, I bathed myself in beer and cigarettes. I got a man smell.
There's like a new one that I've been eyeing because I need to buy some new hand soaps and like I go to Bath and Body Works.
Yeah, what are the women ones?
Well, no, like, I mean, I don't know. I don't use, like, body products from there, just, like, hand soap. But, like, one of the ones that I saw was, like, football season. And I'm like, what does football season smell like?
Football!
But I want to buy it, though. I think it smells like football coaches and tailgate food. Great.
I think at Bath and Body Works, it's probably going to be some sort of mix of, like, pumpkin spice.
Yep.
Fall. Generic, just fall.
Maybe, and like, some, like, leather.
Leather. Maybe a little bit of rain.
A little bit of pigskin.
I don't think pigskin's a good smell.
but a smell that I'm thinking of, so my husband doesn't wear cologne. My stepson kind of does, but also he wears like those, what's that Sydney Sweeney soap one? Squatch? Well, that's what they're known for, if we're being honest. They're known for the Sydney Sweeney bathwater.
I don't know what you're talking about.
They're known for the Sydney Sweeney bathwater soap. But so they have like a whole thing from like Costco that like his like girlfriend got him or whatever. And so it was like a very strong smell that it's like, chimity Christmas. But he'll wear a little bit of cologne. Our 13-year-old started wearing cologne. And like it's like a naked bottle, like naked body bottle. I don't know. I did not purchase it for him. His grandma did.
Wait, but that like, reminds me. That reminds me of Alex Stroff. I believe his mom used to buy him
like sweet and sexy,
very sexy cologne from Victoria's Secret.
Something like that.
So, but it does bring me a question of when, as I guess whether it's a guy or a girl listening here, 844-770-3776. Carbon Stock text line list is more. When do you choose your own cologne or your smell? Because, like, I remember that when I was younger, I don't remember my mom ever buying it for me, but I definitely, whatever my girlfriend at the time wanted me to smell like is what I smelled like.
Fair.
So like Curve was definitely a big one. Cool Water, I believe, was one. And I'm trying to, there was no Axe body spray. I feel like Curve was the big one there.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I would go to is that like, probably on 22, I maybe picked my own smell.
That like might age 22?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, honestly, it's just whatever girl I was seeing, what do you want me to smell like? Whatever it is that gets you to be close to me, I don't care. I'm going to wear it.
That's funny. I I get that, though, because I feel like I, like, dated a guy in the past, and, like, whatever I bought for him, he would wear. I don't really think I have a smell right now. Like, I don't wear perfume. I honestly switch up our body wash. Like whenever I run out, I switch it to the next thing because I'm like, I don't know. Maybe your body gets used to, like, your body wash. You know what I mean? Same with, like, shampoo and conditioner. I'm like, oh, I'm going to change it up every 3 months or whenever I run out because I don't want, like, my body and hair to get, like, used to it. But one that comes to my mind is I think of, like, what my grandpa used to wear. And I know we talked about this, like, last week when we equated, like, cigarette smell from the disgusting air outside to, like, memories of grandparents and whatnot. I know Riley, whenever he smells the smell of cigarettes, he thinks of his grandpa, and we had a lot of callers that said that they did too.
Yeah.
But I feel like I think of, like, when I smell the brute smell,
the green bottle.
Yes. Yeah. Like, that is my grandpa's for sure. That is what he wore.
And Riley, the smell that cigarette smells, what helped you remind you of your grandfather?
Yeah.
I love it. Is. So were you thinking of him this weekend or maybe even today? Because I don't think the air quality is great yet. I think Milwaukee's worse than Madison. I was at the Brewer game yesterday for Ron and Rome. There you go. I gave you a sports word. So we will get to sports. I was at the Brewer game yesterday, and it was very smoky. They had the roof open, and it wasn't quite a restaurant in 1989 sort of, like, stink to it.
Okay.
It was more the air quality felt like a restaurant right after they made it no smoking in Wisconsin.
It just, like, lingers.
It's just there. Like, you sit down in the booth and it just poof, comes out. So it was still there.
It's permeating in the carpet.
Yes, but I felt more comfortable because I happened to be sitting next to a good friend and partner of the show, Tyler from Sim and Chevy in Mount Horeb. You're only minutes away from a better buying experience. But Tyler over there was there with his wife, and she was sitting next to me, and she works in the medical field. And she was there with three little kids, and she said, "This is, you're okay." So, there was a little bit of a conversation on the way over of, like, air quality's not great. And I was like, well, they'll close the roof. And then we got there, and my wife's like, roof's open. I'm like, well, if it's bad, we'll leave. But we were able to get through the entire game. And I want to talk more about why baseball is great to take, like, whether it's a date or your family to, because why do you care? Like, when you're there, and I'm not a diehard baseball fan, Molly, but I was at the game yesterday, and those who don't know, like, I'm a Cubs fan, but also I was a Brewers fan until I was 18 years old when they switched from the American League to the National League. So, like, I don't have a disdain towards the Brewers. My girls kept on asking me, like, who are we going to root for? And I said, I really don't care. I mean, I guess it's better if the Marlins win. Like, Cubs could catch a game, but, like, not a big deal. And at a baseball game, I just think it's the best environment to just have a conversation, be able to embrace the game. And there were some, I would say, weirdos around me because they're, like, yelling and screaming at every pitch. And they're going crazy, and they're yelling mean things at the batters and everything. And I was like, man, it is July 19th against the Marlins at 1 o'clock. What are we doing? But, like, people are in it.
That's so interesting because I feel like – so I'm not the biggest baseball fan. Obviously, like, I enjoy going to a game. I enjoy being in that environment when it's summertime, like you said, all the things that you're listing off, like having the food and just being out when hopefully the air quality is better. But being out and, like, enjoying the game is so fun, and I do think that that is one of the more fun sports to actually go to. But, like, I don't understand from a fan standpoint because – to me, if I go to any NBA game or NFL game or whatever it is, like, if I'm watching any of those, my anxiety is, like, on another level, especially when it's my team, too, like, adding in that layer. Like, I'm not going to be chill during a Packers game, right? But, like, during a Brewers game, it's like, yeah, okay, I want the Brewers to win, but, like, and I don't know if that's because there's 162 games. I don't know if it's because the environment is just so, like, chill and you can kind of just, like, sit there and talk through the whole game. But, like, if it's a Packers game, I'm not just going to sit there and talk the whole time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 844-770-3776. It's Carbon Stock Text Line. List is more. What's the game that's best to attend if you're passively watching? Because, look, you and I are friends. We went to a game with Matt Hamilton. We didn't talk much and not friendly during the game because, like, my anxiety, we went to the Bear-Packer game. at Lambeau Field, my anxiety was high. I'm right. into the game. I don't want to miss a play. I don't want to talk over a play for you. And the action, even though obviously you're pausing per play, the action, the importance of it is times 10 for football. Same thing with a Badger game. You're a lot kind of locked in.
Even when the Badgers stink, I'm more locked in than I am for a Brewers game, probably.
And a basketball game as well. Like it's action happening all the time. You don't want to miss an amazing dunk, and you don't want to miss a big-time play.
Mm-hmm.
So while that's all going on, like for baseball, I was, you know, shooting the breeze with Tyler's wife, just talking about, you know, air quality and everything else. And then my girls are asking me questions about the game, and I'm able to answer it and take my time and not look at the, because it doesn't really matter. And also, like, I wasn't ever, like, plussed. I wasn't ever anxious or like, oh, it was just, all right, what's happening? The only thing I cared about in the game was that there was a hot minute where I thought the Brewers might be, it wasn't truly there, but I think it was through four innings, there were no hit. And then there was a very questionable hit call when Andrew Vaughn hit the ball to third base, and the third baseman gloved it but just didn't catch it. And they called that a hit. And then we were into like the sixth or seventh inning, and it still was the only hit. And I was like, I'm going to be pissed if this is what happens. Like, if this is a one-hitter and that's the hit, the entire show today is how the Marlins got screwed out of a no-hitter. Now, that didn't happen. The Marlins bullpen, particularly their closer, is terrible. And the Brewers ended it. And that actually brings me to my last controversial point here before we go to break. I think walk-off home runs are the least exciting way to end a game.
Why? I thought that's like the most fun thing that people love.
I just saw it. Like I've experienced a walk-off football play. Okay. I've experienced a walk-off game winner, a basketball shot, and I experienced a walk-off home run. They're all awesome. But the walk-off home run, like, it was just all right, cool. I mean, again, it was like,
yeah, but then
it's a walk-off, but like a game-winning basketball shot, there's nothing like that. And then a game-winning football. And I think it's because the games are more important. Because it still was like, cool. Like, Brewers won. Like, now, the best part about it was, again, AmFam Field provides a great environment. The fireworks. Like, they shot off the fireworks. And my
girls. Was it even dark enough to see the fireworks?
Well, yeah, with all the smoke, you can see it just fine. So, like, you shot off the fireworks. The girls got a kick out of that. And we went and ran the bases afterwards. So, great experience over at AmFam Field. But, like, I was like, all right. Home run. Game over. Contreras loved it. They were into it, but like, just wasn't moving the needle for
me. Well, that was their second one, right? Because on Friday night, they went into 10 innings.
Yep, Garrett Mitchell walked it off.
Yeah. I mean, Riley, you're like the resident baseball guy. To me, I don't even enjoy baseball that much, but that seems like a crazy take.
Yeah, that's a terrible take.
Out of the three.
Better than a walk-off. Unless you're talking about the Minneapolis miracle with Justin Jefferson catching it on the sideline in a playoff game. Like, a walk-off home run is significantly better.
Way more common than a walk-off play in football.
Just because it's more common doesn't mean it's any worse.
But it's also more important, too, in football. These are all still just raisins in a trail mix, however you win it.
I think that's what a lot of issues with baseball comes back to, is that the season's way too long. Because it's like, okay, like,
it's a grind. It's part of the beauty of baseball.
So it doesn't lend itself. Well, so it doesn't lend itself to the weight of the moment, because it's just one of 162. I'm not saying it's not like a 9 out of 10, and then I would call basketball 9.5 out of 10, and then I call football 10 out of 10 to walk it off. I'm not saying it wasn't something awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I'm not going to remember. I'm not going to be like, I was there when Wilson Contreras hit a home run on July 19th to beat the hapless Marlins. Like, if I was at a Bucks game and Giannis walks it off, I mean, not anymore.
But see, that same thing though.
Brandon Burry's walked it off in summer league.
Yeah,
that was
not
awesome.
Remember that?
If I was there, I would remember that.
No, see, you're full of crap when you say that, because that is so not true. And you would honestly, it'd be the same thing for
if you walked
NBA.
It off at an NBA game.
No, though. It'd be the same thing for an NBA game too, where it's like, yeah, you're gonna remember the buzzer beater, but like for me, when the Bucks won the championship, I was at the first round when they played Miami Heat, and it went into overtime, I think, and it was because Chris Middleton hit like a buzzer beating shot. Mm-hmm. I will forever remember that. I will forever remember what the feeling of the stadium was, even though that was just the first round of the NBA playoffs. Like, it was incredible.
Yep.
But if that was during like a normal whatever game against the Washington Wizards, game 42 out of 82 or whatever they do. I'm not going to remember.
Okay,
I'm not going
to
remember.
Okay, so then it comes down to playoff. Like,
see, and that's what brings, like, so Daniel Landscaper chimed in on the Carpus Talk and Text Line, 844-770-3776. List is more. He says, game-winning walk-off in baseball in the playoffs in a series-clinching game is better than anything. See, that adds a whole other level where you're, if you're talking playoffs, it's totally different.
I agree, but it was Stephon Diggs, not Justin Jefferson.
But also,
correct. That was almost like 10 years ago
now. I was going to say, yeah. That shows you how much I care about the Vikings playoff win.
Every sport.
But you will forever remember where you were. I do.
Every sport has the playoff jump, though. So I'll hear the argument on basketball over baseball. But for football, I'm sorry. A walk-off football ending play is better than anything else in sports. I'm sorry, it's William Contreras. I said Wilson. So William Contreras walks it off. I love his walk-up music. I love his vibe. I love him. Like, he's fantastic. So it wasn't like any sort of like ill will. Like, he is a Brewers player that's very easy to like. But also, I'm weird. Like, I enjoy his brother. I like players that, like, the Contreras brothers are two guys that play with passion that actually seem like they give a damn about what's happening in the game. I enjoy that. That's why I enjoy Miz. Too many baseball players are like, just going to come up and take a swing, and every day it's just grind it out. Like, these, I love Miz. I love Contreras. I like the guys who can go out there and absolutely just show that they care. Because he came in the game as a pinch hitter and came through with a second at bat with the walk-off, and you could tell it mattered to him. But I'm sorry, it doesn't hold a candle to football.
Robin Madison chimes in. He says, Aaron Rodgers' Hail Mary over Detroit beats
all. Yes. I'm sorry. Yes. And I'm sorry. If that Brewers game last night was a playoff game, it doesn't hold a candle to Aaron Rodgers throwing a Hail Mary to beat the Lions.
If it's a playoff game, it 100% does.
It holds a candle. Might not beat it. And also, I think it depends on who their opponent is, too. Because it's like, you got to think, if they were playing like the Dodgers in the playoffs to go, I don't know, to the NLCS or to go to the World Series or whatever it is, like, that's going to beat everything.
844-770-3776. I feel like this should be our first Siding Limited poll question here, which is, what's the best walk-off to view in person? Baseball, football, or basketball?
Or if you have any specific examples, too.
Yeah, I mean, a soccer walk-off. I mean, World Cup, I was at the Brewers game.
Not really a walk-off, but...
Pretty close, though, right?
Close-ish, yeah.
So,
I
mean...
It was nearing the end of extra time.
I guess a penalty kick in soccer would be pretty insane. Penalty in do they still do that in hockey? Like, at some point, do they end up with penalty shots or not? Because those were great. I will say, in hockey, when they did have penalty shots to end the game, those were awesome too.
Okay.
So, what's the best, and I want to say it live, what's the best walk-off to see live? 844-770-3776. That's the Carbos Talking Text Line. List is more. This is the Molly and Jim Takeover of Wilding Tausch. Jeremy in Green Bay chimes in. Woody homering off Clayton Kershaw. Jeremy in Green Bay with that. Get into the show, 844-770-3776. That's Carbus Talk Text Line. List is more. It is the Molly and Jim Takeover of Wilde and Tausch. I'm Jim Rutledge alongside Molly Brown. You can see us on ESPN Madison and the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube streams, and obviously listen to us on ESPN Madison, Milwaukee, and Beaver Dam, rather Yauch Behind the Glass. And we're asking the question that I was at the Brewer game yesterday, Molly, and I saw Wilson Contreras walk it, or sorry, William Contreras.
Why do you
walking
keep up saying Wilson?
Because I'm a Cubs fan, and Wilson Contreras was the guy I like rooted for forever. So William Contreras walked it off, and it was a moment. It was very cool. The fireworks went off, and it was something that was fun. Now, it was interesting. I stayed to the end of the game. I'm not pretending to some people chiming in on here of like, oh, you're not a real baseball fan. I'm not saying I am. I almost never stay to the end of the game. It was a rare occurrence that I did. And if I had left and not seen the Contreras walk off, I would have felt not an ounce of remorse for missing it. But I stayed because the Brewers had on Sunday, kids can run the bases.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So we stayed after, and Nola and Rosie ran the bases. Rosie was not going to do it for most of the time
because
she's 13 and way too cool for it. She also dressed like she was going
I saw
to,
her outfit. It was cute.
Yeah, she was going to a club or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I was like, I can't believe that Jim let her wear this.
Yeah. I don't make any decisions on clothes. My wife makes those decisions on clothes. And so if it passes, it passes. But when I did see her come downstairs, I was like, where are you going? Because we're going to the ball game. My wife just had like a tank top on. My youngest had like a black shirt and teal shorts. And then, you know, I just wore my Cubs shirt. Said, no place like Wrigley Field. So, like, we stayed. I thought that was pretty mild because it doesn't say Cubs on it. It just says no place like Wrigley Field.
Sure.
So, anyways, we stayed to the end because the kids got to run the base paths. And that's awesome. The Brewers do that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, AmFam Field, it's like a minivan. You know what you're going to get? It is super comfortable. You don't have to worry about the weather, and like it's very family friendly. They have the playground, they have all these great things, and the kids get to run the bases afterwards. Burning the Brewer is a big hit. They obviously, you know, like all ballparks, the kids try to dance, get on the screen, the whole thing. They had a really cute thing of little nuggets. I won't say the brand who was doing it, but
like chicken nuggets.
But yeah, it was a little, but you held up your baby.
Oh, okay. Like,
and they played the Lion King music.
Yeah.
So, like, look, Brewer games are 10 out of 10 in person. They are
great.
That's
so fun.
And I got to see the walk-off. But the walk-off was, like, the least exciting. Well, actually, the least exciting part of the game. But it was like, okay, it was just part of what happened at the game. Like, for me, obviously, the girls running the bases was way cooler than a Contreras walk-off. So it got me thinking, what is the best way what's the best walk-off to see in person? And so you can chime in 844-770-3776. Carl Bartholak text line, list is more. Is it a walk-off in baseball? Is it a game-winning shot in basketball? Is it the game-winning throw or touchdown in football? I guess field goals in there as well.
Could be an interception.
Could be an interception.
I mean, I think of Keyshawn Nixon against the Bears, like at Lambeau last year.
That sealed the game, but I was thinking of Tim Hasselbeck, I believe it was Al Harris, who intercepted it.
You mean Matt Hasselbeck?
What I say,
yeah,
Tim?
Why
Tim?
Are you like?
It's really
what
early.
What is going on?
It's really early. Matt Hasselbeck.
Chuck your coffee right now. It's not
Matt
Wilson.
Hasselbeck.
It's William.
And it's Matt Hasselbeck threw the interception. I believe Al Harris ran it back.
Okay.
For a touchdown.
He joined Wildey and Tausch just a couple weeks ago.
He did. Yes. He was really good. If you missed that, you can listen back on the ESPN Wisconsin app. But unnamed in the 715, remember to text us in your name as well. He says Rogers to Cobb at Chicago to walk off the Bears with 38 seconds remaining. That's always a good one. Kevin in Lake Geneva says 95% of football walk-offs are kicks. Many chip shots. It's not even a football player in that moment. Block and return, totally on board.
Okay, I hear that. There's like a little bit of how it ends.
So wait, so would you rather see like a walk-off field goal or like a walk-off home run like you saw yesterday?
I mean, there is a video that exists of me losing my mind when the Bears walked it off against the Packers at Lambeau Field. So I think a lot of that has to do with the moment because that game was obviously irrelevant for both teams.
Yeah.
But that was big for me. Again, I think part of this is like, what's your favorite sport? Because, if the Brewers hit a home run to walk off the Cubs, I'd be fine by Monday morning. Like, it wouldn't sit with me, as opposed to if the Packers pick six, get Caleb Williams to win the game, I'm going to be bothered for months.
Well, I think it comes down to stakes, too. It's got to be equivalent here if we're going to compare the sports.
That's
so
fair.
Brandon McManus hit that walk-off field goal. What was it, against the Texans? Either last year or 2 years ago.
Okay.
And compare that with Williams Contreras' walk-off yesterday against the Marlins. Two regular season games against...
Well, for what it's worth, I didn't even see the game yesterday for the Brewers. So that might tell you something.
I'm taking a walk-off bomb.
But are you a bigger Brewers fan or are you a bigger Packers fan?
Bigger Brewers fan.
Okay,
but
that's
still,
also why.
But
the game
still,
for the Packers matters more.
Still,
literally
that
every
mean,
single
that
week.
That doesn't mean a walk-off field goal from McManus is cooler than William Contreras hitting a 420-foot tank.
Okay,
he hit a 424-foot tank off a guy with an ERA like of 7.
I don't care.
Okay, the action of a walk-off home run is probably more impressive and cooler, but in terms of importance, Brandon McManus, Green Bay Packers, all day, every day.
Are
because
we talking
every single
what's
game
cooler
of the season talk.
Or what's more important?
Well, what do you want to see in person? Because I'm going to tell you this, if you saw McManus walk it off, you got a pep in your step on Monday.
Yeah, I have a pep in my step today from yesterday.
Do you really? Because then the Brewers are back at it tonight.
Yeah, and I get to see the Miz pitch tonight against former Brewer Freddie Peralta.
Maybe new Brewer,
Freddie
Peralta.
Potentially returning Brewer Freddie Peralta, which that would rock.
All right, 844-770-3776. It's Carpet Talk Text Line. List is more. What is the best walk-off to see in person? Also, I have a question here. Do we have, like, is someone trying to, like, fake their identity on the talking text line?
Why do you say that?
We'll hit that on the other side. This is Molly and Jim's Takeover of Willie and Tausch. So I teased before the break that maybe we have someone trying to fake their identity on the Carbo's Talking Text Line. 844-770-3776. That's the Carbo's Talking Text Line. List is more. James in the Forest chimes in. When do Willie and Tausch return? These two are not good. Mac, Oregon. What's going on? What are we even doing, Brad? Yeah.
What's going on?
Are you serious?
So I don't know. You can just put your name on it. We're not going to like ban you from being a part of the show, James in the Forest, or Mac in Oregon. I don't know which one you think he is.
Would you rather be Mac in Oregon or James in the Forest?
I mean, I'm Jim in Oregon. I'm assuming it's not.
You're James in Oregon.
It's me. It's me. I did it. You solved the issue. You solved it, Molly. I hate us. Now it's time for therapy session. All right, Molly.
Perfect.
We talked about it before. We'll still take your calls on what's better to watch in person for a walk-off. Is it a home run? Is it a game-winning shot? Is it a game-ending football play? And I think that matters because it probably depends on the play. I'm going to go football number one because the weight of it is the most important, whether it's college football or NFL football. College basketball, the weight is more for a game-winning shot,
sure,
even in the regular season, than it is for baseball or NBA basketball. So you can chime in, 844-770-3776. That's Carpet Talk Text Line. List is more. And, you know, Riley, before the break there, kind of mentioned that Miz is pitching, and obviously ESPN Madison is the home of the Brewers, and obviously WTMJ is the flagship of the Brewers, so we'll have that game. And he's facing off against a familiar face in Freddie Peralta tonight. And I want to get to the Peralta aspect of it, but I do like to point out when I'm right, Molly.
Okay.
And,
of course you do.
Yes,
we all know you do.
Yes. And on Molly and Jim, after Miz had kind of a questionable start for Miz, he wasn't bad. I think it was his third start, or his third to last start before the All-Star break. I'm counting the one he skipped or whatever. So after that start, there was two starts left for Miz. And I said, you know what? I think the Brewers should just shut him down because I believe he's already passed the amount of innings he's pitched last year. He already passed that this year. And he's a power arm. And he is one of the best pitchers in baseball. And the only thing that matters, and this is a compliment to the Brewers, and they have a comfortable lead as well in the NL Central, the only thing that matters is going deep into the playoffs. Like, that's how we're judging this season, right? I mean, as Brewer fans, we got to be over the fact that, like, we won a division again. Like, cool. Like, not, you have to hold the Brewers to the Packers standard of, like, go do something now, which is why I hope they do more than Peralta, but we'll get into that a little bit later. But Miz needed a break, and I thought they should have shut him down two starts before the All-Star break. Give him almost two and a half weeks off because you got the All-Star break built in there. Now, they did one start, and it was with arm fatigue is why he's out, and he's pitching now, so obviously he's healthy. But I think the Brewers need to continue to find any small ways to keep Miz fresh because I don't want him anywhere near, or I guess he'll be somewhat near, but 200 innings? Like, that's a lot for a first full season as a starter. And then you got to carry that in the playoffs. And you're going to be the guy that has to carry your team because if the Brewers are thinking we're going to go out and get Peralta and some others on the margins, well, that just means the Brewers aren't serious about going to win and they're just going to try to brewer their way to a World Series. And that hasn't worked. So one of the things you better do for your only chance to go to the World Series is keep Miz healthy. Because if Miz isn't healthy, if Miz isn't at his peak,
that's it.
The Brewers are going nowhere in the playoffs. Absolutely nowhere in the playoffs.
But, okay, so baseball, they can pitch, what, every 5 days? Is that what it is? What's the rule here?
Roughly,
okay,
yep.
So if they don't have other people besides Miz, though, like, doesn't that affect exactly what they do? I mean, I feel like that was, like, the case last year. Where it was like, okay, you, Freddie Peralta wasn't good. Like, there's so many... It's more than just one guy in baseball. Like, it's not like he's their starting quarterback. So, like, mm-hmm. it's going to... Like, you need more than just him. And so I understand that you obviously need him healthy because you want him to play as much as he can in the postseason. But, like, beyond that, you need more to beef that up even more. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. And I don't know if Freddie Peralta's the man to do it. It's very much a Brewers move. It's very much a safe move. It probably won't cost them a ton of prospects. And it's not – Freddie's not pitching well, but he's not horrendous. He's not a full-on reclamation project where he's a bum, but he's not what he was with the Brewers.
Now, I'll call myself an outsider because I'm not dialed into the Brewers. I'm not super – like, I don't really care until the postseason, if I'm being honest, which even then it's like, okay, I want to see them play, see them perform well, all the things. But, like, it's not going to be devastating for me. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there's, like, this inkling of hope that, okay, the Brewers are going to bring him back potentially, and then he's going to be a star. I'm not saying, like, Miz-level star, but the Brewers are somehow going to get him to shift around and end up being really good. Like, I feel like that's probably what Brewers fans are, like, holding on to and thinking that that's going to be, like, the perfect love story or something. Do you know what I mean? Riley, yep. I'm curious because you obviously are the Brewers aficionado on this show. Do you feel that way? Do you feel like you're holding on to, like, an inkling of hope of, like, okay, he may not be doing well, but if they bring him back, you know, bring him in, bring him into their little pitching camp and all the things, turn him around, and then it's a successful story? Like, is that what you're kind of holding out hope for, or where do you kind of land?
If the Brewers decide to bring back Freddie Peralta, I have the utmost confidence that you get him back in the pitching lab, he is going to be just fine. He's going to be comfortable pitching at American Family Field. He is going to be comfortable on this team. If Matt Arnold believes that Freddie Peralta, bringing him back, that's the move he needs to make to put the Brewers over the top and give them the ability to beat the Dodgers in the playoffs, I have the utmost confidence that
so
it will succeed.
So if they did this, you're fine without they don't get a frontline guy.
Yeah, because Freddie, where does he slide in? Number three? If Freddie Peralta is your third starter, given Kyle Harrison, which he seems to be fine, his arm, his elbow, whatever issue he's having doesn't appear to be really that serious.
Isn't he pushing a lot of innings for his career
yes,
as well?
Exactly, okay. Which is why they put
him on
the
15-day IL. That Freddie Peralta's never thrown 180 innings in a regular season. Freddie Peralta's never done that. So, like, all these guys are pushing innings they normally hit.
Yeah, but I still believe in their ability. And
their ability is there. I'm not questioning
and
it.
And I trust Pat Murphy to manage it as they move down the stretch of the season.
The one thing you have in your favor right now is that the Cubs are at arm's length. I believe it's five mm-hmm. or six games. So you have that at your disposal. And the Cubs, they have less pitching. So mm-hmm. I don't see the Cubs catching them. And the Cubs look like they're secured in that wild card, and the Brewers look like they're secured in the division.
And
so,
it's going to come down to the Dodgers.
Yes.
It comes down to can you beat the Dodgers?
And can you be healthy? Can your arms be live enough? Because I think mm-hmm. last year we all can agree the Brewers – the Brewers' arms looked dead for the most part against the Cubs. They looked shot. Mm. And then when they got to the Dodgers' biggest strength is their depth. They were just fresher. Mm-hmm. The Brewers looked cooked, like just out of gas, which is fine. It's not – teams run out of gas. If you're not the Dodgers, that's why the Dodgers are so great. It's not the top-line talent. Their top-line talent runs all the way through the roster. And so they're just deeper than everyone else. So, again, adding Peralta, I like the move. Adding Peralta as the move – I don't think that gets it done. The biggest thing for Peralta, and I hate to get big into numbers here, but like he is struggling, and it is his highest batting average against for him in his career, mm-hmm. and he's not striking people out.
Denver Dan on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream. Remember, you can always watch us on the ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee YouTube streams. He says, love Freddie, but he was traded for a reason. Does Freddie get you to the World Series, or are we just romantic about him because we quote-unquote raised him? And that's kind of what I was getting at, too.
Yes.
Like, I think, which, like, honestly, if I equate it to the team that I probably care the most about in the Packers, probably that I do care the most about, like, of course, you're going to have, like, that romantic story of, like, bringing somebody back, like, and then you guys having success and all the things. But, like, as you guys were talking, I'm just thinking, is there any move that the Brewers can do that really makes you feel good about potentially defeating the Dodgers? Like, realistically, is there any move that they could do to make them the best team and give them the ability to beat the best team that is just this monster of an animal?
Schubel. Like, I'm sorry, if they go get him, I would put the Brewers as a team that can beat the Dodgers. Because I do think they are going to manage the innings for Miz as it goes along. And honestly, I would like both. Like, if the Brewers are serious, I don't think Peralta is going to cost you a lot, which speaks to again, a classic Brewers move of like, we're smarter than everyone else, and they are for the most part, but adding Peralta and Skubal or one of the other, I don't know who else is exactly available as far as a frontline pitcher, but give me Peralta and, or give me two Peralta type guys. That's what I want. Again, depth is what does it. And if you have Harrison, Mason Miller is another name that Robin Madison chimes in on. And I think Mason's on the back end. But like the Brewers do need some back end. They do need back end bullpen help as well. They need more arms. You always need more arms. And you need more zip in the arms. And you need more power arms. And you need someone that can carry you through. Because the Dodgers are going to be there. Atlanta's good too. I think the Brewers and every team always needs more pitching. And I guarantee the Dodgers are going to add more. They're going to do that.
Brandon on the YouTube stream says, Peralta would be the typical Brewer move. Bring him back and fix one small thing and turns his season around.
Yeah. I don't think it definitely turns his season around. He's talking about Peralta's. Peralta, I don't know if ever was. He's never been Miz. He's never been right. Skubal. Like, he's never been that guy. Adding a guy like Peralta is great. I want more.
Yeah.
Because there is a question about how will Harrison, how will these other guys pitch as the season goes along? What will be, what's available to them? And also, to Riley's point, if you're going to try to manage the innings, well, if you're going to manage the innings, that means you need even more pitchers in the rotation or long bullpen arms to be able to get through these games. If you want to start cutting Miz down to six, they did that a little bit last year too, to kind of keep his arm fresh, which I'm all for, because you got a stronghold on the division, and the team behind you in the division, I just don't think they have the ammo to go out and beat you. So it's really about just trying to line yourself up correctly for the postseason here. So 844-770-3776. That's Carl Bostock. Text line list is more. We got Eric in Green Bay talking about Freddie.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Fantastic, Eric. Good to hear from you.
Good. My concern with going after a guy like Freddie Peralta, I don't think the Brewers make that move to go deeper in the playoffs necessarily. Even on this program, Jesse Nelson last year actually had a pretty strong take about Peralta. In the playoffs, he is not a very reliable arm. And in all the playoff runs that I don't have his stats in front of me, but his ERA is up there in the playoffs, and he really hasn't delivered as like a frontline clutch pitcher. Again, I think you guys mentioned getting him as a buy low. I think the biggest thing the Brewers need right now are innings to space out with Harrison hurt, with Miz's fatigue, obviously Woody's out for the year. I think the biggest thing right now they're chasing in the regular season is that one or two seed till they get a second round bye, be as healthy as they can for playoffs. But like, I mean, last year we saw the Dodgers. I don't think Skubal doesn't win you that series. The thing the Brewers need right now the most is a bat. And the tricky thing with that is I don't think there's a bat out there that is a fearing cut upgrade over any position. Like, even Jory Ortiz right now, who is like the weakest spot in the lineup, the last month he's been playing really well. They're just in a really tricky spot right now.
They are, Eric. Thanks for the call. And yeah, a bat would help. And they do have a good lineup. When I think of bat, I think of a thumper, someone that can just change the game with one swing. And the Brewers, especially Yelich, is struggling as of late. And he's not hitting for a lot of power. So they could use some pop. And another guy that could just change the entire pace of a game with a home run is someone that I think would be super useful as well.
Yep.
844-770-3776. That's the Carbon Stock text line. This is more. Greg and Franklin chimes in. The cheapest billionaire in the world, Antanasio, needs to, that's not how he spelled it, needs to finally spend a little and get two real studs, a pitcher and clutch hitter for the playoffs. He's content with all the 3 million fools who will make him richer, just hoping to win. That's a bit strong from Greg.
And it's not just spending money. You're going to have to trade some high-end prospects.
I would like this opportunity here before Molly tells us about some exciting news with our Bucks podcast here. But I want to say this, that the Brewers have a perpetual cycle of budgeting. And that means you can't trade too many prospects because you're not really going to pay the guys on the back end because you can't afford to or don't want to. I should probably say don't want to. So you can't trade too many prospects because they're the ones that have to backfill. When you let pitchers go, like Hader and all the others, then like all of a sudden, like that, you need someone else to come in. And Peralta, you let go. Obviously, like all these guys keep on coming through, and you have to have another pitcher to fill it, another hitter to fill it. And so you can't trade the young, controllable, cheap players because even Jackson Chourio, yeah, they gave him a deal. He's cheap. The young guys right. They paid, they're cheap for Major League Baseball players. Brewers are smart to pay them, but the Brewers operate on a way that they need the prospects to backfill because they're never going to pay a high-end salary. All that being said, two things to me should matter different this year. There's going to be no baseball next year, so who cares about prospects? And two, you got the best farm system in baseball, probably by a landslide. You can spare some prospects.
Well, my question, Riley, for you is, and fans like you, is like, don't you just want to see the Brewers go all in, literally all in, spend the money, make the trades, do whatever you have to do to win? Like, this is a crazy season that is happening. You have the best pitcher in baseball in the Miz. Like, you have so many things to be proud of. Don't you just want them to just fork out the cash, make the risky trades, just do it and try? Like, I would be dying for my team to try to do that.
Yes, as long as you don't mortgage the entire future. But they have one season.
But hold on. But we talked about it a few months ago when we were like, wouldn't a Brewers World Series be literally the biggest thing to happen right now in the state of sports in the state of Wisconsin, right? Like, in order to do that, they need to do more than what they've been doing for the last how many decades? Like, you need to do something and just do it out of the box, win one time, and who cares if you're not good for the next 5 years? Who cares? You've
got
a World Series.
But they are
going to
be good. It's not like they're losing. Like, they have a lot of players under contract. It's one of these things. It's like, one, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. But it also just is like this old Family Guy thing of like, well, do you want a boat? Do you want an ace? Or do you want the mystery box of prospects? But I got a lot of mystery boxes. I don't know the size. The boxes don't look the size of a boat, but they could be a boat. So why would I trade possible boats to get a yacht when I have the possibility of multiple boats?
Yeah, but it's more like, okay, we have Jesus Madey, top prospect. He could be Derek Jeter, or we can trade him for half a year of Tarik Skubal. Like, it's a rental.
But what if the half a year of Tarik Skubal gets you a World Series? What happens?
Obviously, if you get a World Series, it's all moot.
You got to have a pair of onions and go do it. Every team that goes win the World Series, they trade good players to get better players that are ready to go, and nobody cares. I don't care. The Cubs traded people for Chapman and others. I don't care. I don't know who they are. They probably were good prospects. I don't care. CeCe Sabathia traded for the Brewers. Nobody cares about Michael Brantley or Matt LaPorta. CeCe Sabathia has got his face on the wall.
Yes, but you still.
But what?
It's not a guarantee. It's not just.
It's not guaranteed, Riley.
You get a half a year of Tarik Skubal. That's the World Series. Dodgers. Hopefully,
I would imagine. Now you're too young for this, but I would imagine that there's so many Brewer fans out there that would say their favorite Brewer season of all time, and obviously they've had a couple runs deeper in the playoffs, was the CeCe Sabathia year. Because not only was it awesome, and he was the best pitcher in baseball, hands down, like somehow CeCe Sabathia in that run is better than Miz is now, and Miz is amazing, and Miz is the best player in baseball. CeCe Sabathia was better. And what it signified, though, Riley, why it made it so different and special, was that the Brewers gave a damn. It was very similar to Reggie White coming to Green Bay.
A damn right now is absurd. Daniel the Landscaper makes a great Packers comp on the Carbless Talk and Text line. Micah Parsons, Jordan Love, Xavier McKinney. Those are big swings. Hey, massive swings.
Yeah,
what
you know what?
Done yet?
You know what? Brian Gutekunst one is off my you know what list because he got Micah Parsons. You went and got the best player in football right now to go win a championship. You're at least trying to win a championship. Is it going to work out? Who knows? But thank God they got him. Thank God they did.
I agree.
And also with the whole Micah thing, obviously he freaking tore his ACL, ruptured his knee, whatever you want.
Yeah, he was amazing.
Like, yeah, but you have him long term. What if Scooble throws out his arm first start?
Then it happens. But at least
that's
you
life.
Can feel like at least you can feel
oh,
like
life.
At least you can feel like your organization is doing everything within their power in order to win a championship. You don't just feel like Jim. You always say this, but the budget Olympics, right? Antanasio is trying to win the budget Olympics, and he does a great job at it every single year. But if I am a Brewers fan, I want my team to do whatever they possibly can when you have all of these things lining up this season in order to win a championship. Because why the hell not?
We have G-Town Woody chimes in. Your beloved Cubs spend a lot of money every year. How's that working for you? They don't spend enough, G-Town. If you listen to me, I want them to spend like the Dodgers. I'm not sitting here saying, oh, the Cubs should save their money for a rainy day. No, you're billionaires, Rick. It's spend all your money. I want owners of teams to spend money like they give a damn about winning the whole damn thing. Any team. The Packers are doing a good job of it. Now, if you don't think the people spending the money are good at their jobs, then move on from them. But that's not a discussion with Matt Arnold.
No.
Correct?
He's incredible.
No, Matt Arnold's amazing.
Yes. Right. So, again, you have one of the best minds in baseball in Matt Arnold. You have the best pitcher in baseball in Miz. You have a very deep lineup. It could use some thump, but it's still a very deep lineup. You have a manager who has the pulse of this team probably more than anyone else in all of baseball. And I'm sorry, if you're a fan that sits here and says, I'd rather keep the mystery box than go get the boat, I don't think you're serious about winning a World Series.
Tonight on 94.5 ESPN, listen to History Made Us, Thanasis Antetokounmpo, and his show, Thanalysis, celebrates the five-year anniversary of the Milwaukee Bucks NBA championship. Hear conversations with Chris Middleton, Bobby Portis, Brooke Lopez, and more. Plus, you'll hear never-before-told story about Giannis Antetokounmpo and his rehab schedule to get back on the court in time for the finals. History Made tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, presented by Visit Milwaukee and Good Health Saunas.
Eric and Green Bay brings something to my attention that is correct. You chimed in on the Carbo Stock text line 844-770-3776. List is more. He says, you'll never see an effort from a player that comes anywhere near what CeCe did in 08. Heading into free agency, pitched on minimal rest and went as deep as possible in every game. And he is right. But it did remind me that CeCe Sabathia reminds me a little bit. What was your concern about Scooble?
That he could get injured.
But, you know, what else? That he's heading into free agency? That
yes.
He's not yours afterwards?
Yes.
So, CeCe Sabathia, who pitched on short rest, ace-level pitcher, came to the Milwaukee Brewers heading into free agency. He won 11-2 with a 1.65 ERA, 7 complete games. I mean, honestly, an insane. I mean, he was, like I said, Miz is the best pitcher in baseball. And CeCe was better during his time with the Brewers when he pitched 130 innings with them. Like, I've never seen 130 innings pitched by anyone for any team than what CeCe Sabathia brought. And I'm sorry, you add Scooble to this team with Miz. This team now has a legitimate chance to beat the Dodgers and go win the World Series. If you don't, I don't think you're doing it.
Well, Johnny on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream says, is it impossible to win the World Series as the Brewers are?
I don't like the chances.
I think when you have a team like the Dodgers that are just this monster of in the MLB, like they are the team that you have to beat, and they spend so much money, have so many incredible players. Like, to me, you can't win if you're not competing in that sense.
And it's more of like you're doing the same thing over and over again. Every year you're close. But let's not forget, Atlanta is very good. Atlanta could mess up the Brewers. There's going to be wild card teams that could mess up the Brewers. And yeah, you can point to the Mets, but obviously the Mets are a mess and they spent their money wrong. What does it have to do with the Brewers? I'm not saying the Brewers have to spend the most money in baseball. I'm not saying the Brewers have to be dumb about trading prospects, but the Brewers have the deepest and best farm system in all of baseball. They have a team poised to compete with the Dodgers to go to the World Series. And the point of the whole damn thing is to win the World Series.
Right.
And with the lockout looming, maybe you get a guy like Scooble who's willing to push it a little bit more because he knows he's going to have more time to recover. Because we are not playing baseball next year anytime soon. So I think the Brewers should go do it. I think that they're a few players away. And I'll look at this. Most teams that go and win the World Series, including the Dodgers, still make moves. Moves that matter. So sitting on your hands or making moves in the margins, and Peralta's helpful, but then I want two Peralta-type players. Or I want Peralta and a closer, or Peralta and a bat. Like, if you want to tell me you're going to go with getting Peralta, and then you're going to add a bat, a thumper, I don't care if the guy hits 225 or 220, if they are hitting home runs at a clip that most Brewers don't hit it at, take it. I think you could use a bullpen arm, whether that's a closer or not. We'll talk more about this on the other side. This is Molly and Jim, TakeOver Wilding Tausch.